Thank you for that number this morning. There are times when I hear special music that I want to stand up and join the special musicians and sing the song with them. Some songs are just really worth singing, and that's a great little song, and I really appreciate the way it was sung. Thank you very much. Turn with me, if you would, please, in your Bible. Apparently, this morning, I'm a stand-in for a stand-in for a stand-in. So this is like the fourth string. In fact, this is the string that's come unstrung. Because Leah's away, and then Doug was going to preach, and he made excuses, and then Ben was going to preach, and he made excuses. No, I am not Ben Straub. Praise the Lord. I'm his father, but not Ben. And so you're stuck with me. And so we'll make the best of things this morning. And don't blame Ben or Doug or Lee for what you get. You'll just have to leave that in the Lord's hands. Psalm 128 this morning. This is Father's Day. And what do you do on Father's Day but think about dear old dad? And, you know, I wanted to look at a text of Scripture this morning that would be a blessing, I hope, to all of us. Psalm 128. This is a part of a section in the Psalter, 15 Psalms long, from Psalm 120 to Psalm 134, that begin with a statement, a song of ascents. And we don't know what that means. It's been around in the Psalter for a long, long time. There are a couple of theories as to what it might mean. There's 15 Psalms, and some have suggested, some of the Jewish writers on the Old Testament suggested one Psalm for each of the steps into the temple. More recently, Bible students seem to think these are Psalms that were sung going up to the temple. These 15 Psalms aren't related in the sense of theme. They cover a variety of different themes. They're mostly all short. Some of them are familiar to us. Psalm 121, I will lift up my eyes to the hills. From whence comes my help? My help comes from the Lord. That's one of my favorite texts in the Old Testament. Some of the Psalms are less familiar to us. This Psalm that we'll look at briefly this morning is only six verses long. And it's three stanzas, really. An introduction, the explanation, if you will, and then the conclusion. It's just a short little Psalm. So it shouldn't take us any more than about 3 or 4 hours to get through our little study this morning. Your dad didn't tell me, Gloria, how long I was to preach, so I just guess it's open-ended. And since we're not on radio like they are at Fourth, I don't have to worry about being cut off. So if you get hungry and you need to go for lunch, you just go ahead and I'll finish when I'm done. No, I'm just kidding. Having a good time here. I'm glad for Pastor Lee. He's a good friend, and thank the Lord for Family Baptist Church. Let me read the Psalm, and then we'll begin. A song of ascents. Blessed is everyone who fears the Lord, who walks in his ways. You shall eat the fruit of your labor, of your hands. You shall be blessed, and it shall be well with you. Your wife will be like a fruitful vine within your house. Your children will be like olive shoots around your table. Behold, thus shall be the man. Thus shall the man be blessed who fears the Lord. The Lord bless you from Zion. May you see the prosperity of Jerusalem all the days of your life. May you see your children's children. Peace be upon Israel. Father, as we take a few moments now and look into your word, we pray that you would still our hearts, guide our thoughts, open our ears, penetrate our souls. We pray for Pastor Lee as he's with family. We know it's been a difficult time with the loss of a loved one, and as he's ministering this weekend, Lord, we pray for him that you would fill him with your Spirit. I know that some of his family are unbelievers. We pray that you would help Lee to bear the light of the gospel.
before those whose eternal destiny stands in the balance. We pray, our Father, this morning that your word would do its work in our hearts. For Jesus' sake. Amen. In recent days, so much of the contemporary Bible translations have sought to change the language of the Bible to reflect the Bible promises to more than men. When the Bible was written, so many of the pronouns that were used were male pronouns, and obviously the Bible's not just written to men, it's written to men and women. And so quite often texts have been changed to say, to word it in a generic way. This text opens up with a generic statement. Blessed is everyone who fears the Lord. But I think as we read the text, the author, whom we do not know, nearly around 70 of the Psalms are attributed to David, but there are quite a number of Psalms that we don't have an author identified. This is one of them. The author clearly is speaking to men. Because as we look at the Psalm, he's talking about your wife. That's a male-oriented conversation. And so I'm going to speak to men today. Ladies, you feel free to listen in because there's certainly a lot in here for all of us. But clearly, the psalmist is addressing his thoughts to the head of the household, to having the blessing of God on he and his family. And I trust this morning that's our goal as men, is we want God's blessing on me and mine. One of the great responsibilities in this life is to be a father. It's sobering. It's serious. It has long-term consequences, good or bad. My father died when I was 15. That's 45 years ago. I don't know if he was a Christian. As far as I know, he wasn't when he died. I did not have an adult relationship with my father. Blessed is everyone who fears the Lord. Let's just take a moment and look at this introductory statement. It's a common statement in the book of the Psalms. Blessed is the man, Psalm 1 says. Of course, this is a case where it's not just written to men. Blessed is the person who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, or stands in the way of sinners, or sits in the seat of the scornful. The psalmist says in the first psalm, blessed is the person. The psalmist, again and again and again, tells us that there are certain things we can do if we want to be blessed. Sometimes this word can be rendered happy. Now, we live in a society today where people just want to be happy. Don't worry, be happy. That kind of glib, naive sort of way of living is not what the Scripture has in view. God is not concerned about our happiness as much as He's concerned about our holiness. But in the course of life, if we walk a certain way, we can be happy. Now, it doesn't mean that we're giddy and that we live as though we just won the lottery. and that everything is good, you know, something good is going to happen to us today, and that life is never difficult, and that we always have what we need, and more importantly, we always get what we want. Happiness is not having the most toys. In fact, some of the most unhappy people in the world have all of this world's goods and need nothing. But they're not happy. I hate to admit this. Friday, I was in Hollywood. Okay, Joshua, our younger son, was out in California on a business trip, and we had Friday free. So we looked at a variety of options, and I'd never been to Hollywood. And, you know, so, you know, I had no idea what I was getting into. It was kind of like a number of years ago, I went on an Answers in Genesis trip through the Grand Canyon, and we had to fly into Las Vegas. I'd never been to Las Vegas before either. And, you know, I would put Hollywood and Las Vegas in the same thing. Been there, done that, don't need to go back again. The closer you get to the center of things, the more the debauchery is just everywhere. I had no idea that it was that. Joshua kept saying, this is a mission field. This is a mission field. This is a mission field. We were riding public transportation. And on our route back to our hotel in Santa Monica, we happened to be on the bus with a guy who used to be on the Howard Stern Show. Now, I never watched the Howard Stern Show. I understand the Howard Stern Show was pretty ungodly. But this guy talk. It was like we were old friends for 20 minutes. And I heard about his life and history and his politics. He wanted to talk about Walter Mondale. He wanted to talk about Barack Obama. He wanted to talk about Donald Trump. And it was just interesting. And everywhere we turned around, there were all manner of people there. Most of them needing the Lord. An awful lot of unhappy people. You could see it in their faces. You could observe it in their behavior. They were walking around with no hope in life. That shouldn't be the case of any child of God. The Bible, if we will read it and follow it, is very clear on how we can be happy. Blessed is everyone who fears the Lord. This expression, the fear of the Lord, is not the idea of terror. I'm hiding in a closet because I'm afraid that God is going to come out with a club and beat me. It's not the fear of, you know, the cops are going to come and arrest me. The teacher's going to come and take my paper. But this is a healthy respect. This is a reverence for and a recognition of who God is and what He does and deserves. Psalm 100. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. Know ye. There's two things Psalm 100 wants us to know. Know ye that the Lord, He is God. And He made us. Now there's something about His creative relationship to us that demands our attention. He made us. And then the psalmist goes on and tells us, know ye that He is the Lord. As our Creator, He is also our Master. And it is as we come to recognize God for who He is and what He has done that we will fear Him. We will reverence Him. We will respect Him. Now, regardless of which side of the political fence you're on, where here I am talking to this guy on the bus, and we're talking about politicians and this president or that president, and, you know, regardless of our personal opinion of the guy in the White House at the time, he deserves our respect because he's our president. And while I may have opinions about various people who hold the office, I still respect the office and the person who sits in the chair. Because if I understand anything, he's going to stand before a just and holy God one day and give an account of his actions. And I'm not sure I'm ready to give an account of my actions, much less give an account of his actions. So I'd better worry about my life and not his. Blessed is everyone who fears Jehovah. Lord, in all capital letters, is of course the personal name for God. It's the name which we get our word Yahweh, Yahweh, Jehovah. Every time you see Lord in all capital letters, that's the personal name of God. God, in distinction from Baal, in distinction from Asherah, and the other gods that were in the ancient world around Israel. There is only one God. And He's the one to be feared. Now, if we were having a church service this morning in Arabic, we would call that God Allah, because Allah is the Arabic word for God. But we wouldn't mean what other people mean. There is only one Jehovah God. And we either acknowledge Him as our Creator and our Master and have happiness, or we reject Him and suffer the consequences. Now, beloved, I understand that sounds very narrow. It just sounds narrow. And I have one of two choices when I come to a teaching of the Scripture. I can either accept it or reject it. I could rewrite it. But then if we let everybody rewrite the Scripture according to how they feel, then we wouldn't have a rule book. Blessed is everyone who fears Jehovah. Now, as an explanation of what that means, the psalmist adds a second statement as to what the fear of the Lord looks like, or how it manifests itself in our life. How do we know we fear the Lord? As they say, talk is cheap. He says, who walks in His ways. Now, this idea of walking is a common metaphor in the Old Testament. It's not talking about the steps of our feet, one before the next. It's talking about the course of our life. It's talking about the direction we take. It's talking about the things we do in this world. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. It doesn't mean if I'm out in the grocery store and I see a lost person, I can't walk anywhere near them. I have to move away from them because I don't want to. You know, that's not what that means. It doesn't mean I can't ask a lost person for directions. Wait a minute now. Before I ask you a question, I need to know, are you a Christian? Because I don't want to walk in the counsel of the ungodly. That's not what the text means. But it means that I can't chum around with. I can't find my source of wisdom there. Because they're fools. The Bible makes it very clear that someone is a fool when they say no to God. And every unbeliever who has rejected God is a fool. Now, I don't say that to be condescending, but if we deny the God that made us, that's a pretty foolish thing to do. Conversely, here in this text, the text says, blessed is everyone who fears the Lord, who walks in His ways. So if you want to measure your life and you want to evaluate your life and think about, now, am I a man, a woman, a teenager, a young person that is characterized by the fear of the Lord? Tell me where you're walking. Tell me what company you keep. Tell me where you go. Which automatically, and I'll candidly admit, me being on Hollywood Boulevard really makes that a bit of a problem. And I told Joshua, been here, done that, don't need to come back. I have no idea what. If you had told me, look, if you go there, this is what you're going to expect to see, then I probably would have said to Joshua, I don't need to go there. But I had no idea. I had no idea. And the closer you got to the center of it, the more the stores and the people, and there's a throng of tourists. I recognize not everybody is equally, and there no doubt were believers in among the group. Joshua and I were certainly there. But the atmosphere and I was glad we got out of there, frankly. Like I said, I've been to Las Vegas too. Went to Las Vegas once. Happened to fly through there, going to the Grand Canyon. I was staying in a hotel. They put us up in a hotel that had no casinos. And I thought, I'm just going to walk. There was a casino nearby. I'm just going to walk over there. And I tell you what, I walked in and I walked out and I said, I don't need to come back to Las Vegas again. Now, it's a mission field. There are unbelievers there. But I don't know that I would be strong enough spiritually to withstand the storm of wickedness that's there. And I honestly don't know that I could live in California either. But anyway, that's neither here nor there. Blessed is everyone who walks in the fear of the Lord, who fears the Lord, who walks in His way. God wants us, you and I, to plan and chart and set our course according to His ways. Look over, if you will, just briefly at Psalm 119. The longest chapter in the Bible, every one of the 176 verses except one, talks in some way about God's Word. Notice what the psalmist says here. Blessed are those whose way is blameless, who walk in the law of the Lord. So walking in His ways includes or is guided by walking in the law of the Lord. Our Bible is intended to be a roadmap to walking a happy life, because it tells us what God wants us to do. And if we want to be blessed, if we want to be happy, we need to walk in the ways of the Lord. back at chapter 128. You shall eat the fruit of the labor of your hands. You shall be blessed, and it shall be well with you. Here is the promise that accompanies the statement of verse 1. The promise is, you shall eat the fruit of the labor of your hands. Well, who else would eat it? Well, this is an Old Testament picture. Oftentimes, in times of conflict, one guy would plant the vineyard, but a war would come and some other guy would harvest it. You remember when the children of Israel went into Canaan? They took over houses they didn't build and fields they didn't plant and vineyards they didn't cultivate. God gave them somebody else's property as a part of His gift to Israel. What the psalmist is saying here is that if we walk according to God, we will enjoy the fruit of our efforts. I was cutting up with Ron Gottsman here recently. Ron Gottsman is tight-fisted. He's our director of advancement. And I said, Ron, if you don't spend your money, your wife is going to spend it with her second husband. You know, come on, Ron, live a little. You know, what are you saving for? The reality is, we want to enjoy the fruit of our efforts. And the psalmist says, if we fear God and walk in His ways, we will. We will. You shall be blessed, and it shall be well with you. Now, this is a generic promise. I understand it's not an absolute that you'll never have a cloudy day. It's not an absolute that nothing will ever be bad, ever. You'll never have a problem in life, because the reality is life is filled with problems. But the general course of our life will be blessed. It doesn't mean we're going to be rich. It doesn't mean we're going to be successful, whatever that is. But you know, there's a lot of contentment with being where God wants us to be. There's a lot of joy in knowing that we are in the center of God's will and that God is superintending our lives. There is joy and comfort. This is God's work in our life. Most of you know we have a 27-year-old son at home in a wheelchair. If you think that makes me happy, you're nuts. It doesn't make me happy, not even a little bit. But it's still God's plan for our life. And God is doing some interesting things in His life. And God is good. And I don't take my son's disability as somehow I'm not walking in God's way. In fact, you know, that's one of the common misconceptions about suffering, is that when people suffer, they must have done something wrong. John chapter 9. Who sinned, this man or his parents? Now, theoretically, it's possible that Josh was in a wheelchair because his dad's a sinner. That's theoretically possible. My father was an alcoholic. I could have been an alcoholic, and I could have gotten drunk and gotten in a car accident. My son could have broken his back as a result of that, and there would have been a direct correlation between my son's wheelchair and my alcohol, but that's not what happened. He was born 10 weeks premature, and in the providence of God, he has never walked. Did my wife and I sin somewhere past? It's probably my wife, his mother, you know. Couldn't have been me. Must have been Mom. An unbelieving radio host asked my wife that question about 20 years ago. My wife took him to that passage. For the glory of God. So when we talk about God's blessing, when we fear Him, it doesn't mean that everything is going to be rosy. Excuse me. Rosie. I remember her name, coincidentally. But it does mean that, generally speaking, our life is going to be blessed. He goes on then and explains it. Here's why. Enter in view. Your wife will be like a fruitful vine within your house. Your children will be like olive shoots around the table. Of course, in the ancient world, they would have, it was a culture of grapes and olives. And, you know, people's livelihood was built off the prosperity of the vine and the shoots. If you don't have grapes and you don't have olives, you don't have money. It's as simple as that. And the picture here is that if you walk according to God's way, your wife will be fruitful. Now, of course, this is the picture of children. And I know there's issues of infertility and things like that. That's another conversation. Please don't take this as somehow God's judgment. I'm not implying that. But I'm saying generally this is what God does with people. Your wife will be like a fruitful vine within your house, and your children will be like olive shoots. You know, if I understand things right, it takes an olive shoot 40 years before it starts producing. But then it produces for like ever. And, you know, there's nothing an ancient person wanted any more than a productive vine and a productive olive tree. And so the psalmist is saying, listen, follow God and you're going to see productivity in your family. You know, this is if I can just stop the tape here a little bit and just make an editorial comment. When I was pastoring, you know, people would say to me, well, I don't have to go to church to love God. I understand that. Just because I go to church doesn't mean I love God. I understand that too. But here's the danger. You start missing church, and 1 week becomes 3 becomes 2 months, and 2 months becomes 3 years, and 3 years becomes a decade. And if you, as the parent, don't set the example for your children, it is highly unlikely that your children will change the pattern. Now, just because you go to church every week doesn't mean your kids will. But if you don't go to church much at all, there's a pretty good expectation that your kids won't either. And I just think we need to appreciate the power of our example with our children. We want our children to be blessed. We want our children to be fruitful. Notice how he ends, verse 4. Behold, thus shall be the man. Thus shall the man be blessed who fears the Lord. Wow. It's a simple, simple promise. 4 short verses. A simple plan. It's not complicated. It's not rocket science. There's not this magic formula or secret handshake or hidden pathway to follow or complicated structure. It's a fairly straightforward, simple plan of action. Fear God and walk in His ways. And then he finishes the psalm. It's sort of aimed toward the Israelite people because they would have been concerned about Jerusalem. The Lord bless you from Zion. May you see the prosperity of Jerusalem. Of course, the Israelites looked for tranquility in the land and the land to prosper. And the Jewish people as a nation would have prospered had they followed God. It's clear when you study the Old Testament that during times when Israel walked with God, God blessed them. And during times when Israel rebelled, God sent chastisement. Those principles continue to abide. Now, we're not the new Israel, and this is not a promise directly applicable to us. And I like this last verse. May you see your children's children. Peace be upon Israel. There was this promise of tranquility, and you would live to see your grandchildren. I turned 60 this year. I'm not nearly as old as Dr. McLaughlin. I don't know that anybody is as old as Dr. McLaughlin, but I'm not nearly as old as Dr. McLaughlin or Jerry. Good to see you this morning, Jerry. I'm trying to catch up to you, brother, but every time I tick off a year, you've ticked off another year too. That's the way it goes. My dad died at 52. He never saw his children's children. I've lived 8 years longer than my father did. I've been blessed to see my children's children. I hope, I think, I believe that is because I have tried in a very imperfect way to walk in the ways of God. Had I gone through life like I was headed as a teenager, I have very little doubt that my life would have ended long ago. By God's grace, I have seen my children's children, and who knows, I may live to see my grandchildren's children in the providence of God. Gentlemen, there is no greater thing than to fear God and walk in His ways. And for all of us, men and women, young and old, this really applies to all of us. If you want to be happy, really happy, it's not found in the things of the world. I mean, I saw that last week. Not found in things of the world. It's found in fearing God and walking in His ways. May God give us the grace to do this. Let's pray. As we bow in prayer this morning, I don't know what your custom is here, what Brother Lee does. If you are here this morning and you're not a child of God and you need to talk to somebody about that, I would be glad to, or someone else from the church would be glad to take a scripture and show you how you can begin this journey. If you are a child of God, let me encourage us all to walk in the fear of the Lord in His ways, that we may be blessed and happy. Father, thank